Hi, this is Austin Hill. Hey, thanks for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Now, remember, to hear the entire broadcast or more highlights from our recent episodes, you can go to the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com. Thanks for listening. Good morning at 7:35 Central Time from the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill, honored to be with you weekday morning 6 till 8 as we seek to be informative, challenging, hopeful, and helpful. How's the level of conversation going in your household, in your family, perhaps even with your spouse if you're married? And how are you doing at having those otherwise sometimes difficult adult conversations? There's lots of things that can derail important conversations from happening. Joining us to talk about how not to let that happen, Kendra Smiley, part of the John and Kendra Smiley duo, although I understand John is, maybe he's piloting an aircraft somewhere. Anyway, Kendra, welcome back to the program. Good to talk to you.
Thank you. No, I am in Texas and he is in Illinois, keeping the home fires burning, and I am walking outside, so no home fires necessary here.
Well, there you go. And your husband is burning with jealousy, I presume, with the warmer weather.
I don't
weather
know. I'll check with that. I'll check on that later, Austin.
Yeah. Okay. Well, good to speak with you anyway. Here's a situation, an issue that you and John are no strangers to. You've had to deal with this many, many times before in your counseling work, and that is adult conversations, important, urgent things that mom and dad, husband and wife need to address. Why is this such a difficult thing for so many people?
Well, we actually, I think we were the originators of the phrase adult conversation, and it came about because we were having difficulty having them. There would be some issue with the kids or with anything, and we'd both be so emotional about it, and we would never get anything done. We'd never get anything solved. And so at some point, one of us, probably the adult in the crowd, that would be John, one of us said, we need to have an adult conversation. And we defined that, you know, we were trying to be unemotional and we're going to try to communicate so that the other person can actually understand what's being said.
Yeah. Now, are these the topics at hand that fall into this this broad category of adult conversation? Are they typically very emotionally charged sorts of things, like I feel hurt because you've been doing X, Y, and Z, or my needs are not being met, or I'm not sure where our relationship is headed? Is it that big ominous stuff, or is it, hey, we need to sit down and figure out how to get this hole in the ceiling fixed, or it's more of a project task oriented kind of thing that we just need to prioritize it and make sure we have this discussion? Or is it all of the above?
Oh, thank you. That's what I was waiting for. And probably typically it's something in the middle of those. And if it is a project, it's like I might say, we've got to get this done. And John says, well, I don't know why we have to get this done. We don't need to get it done right now. Oh, my goodness. Okay, let's have an adult conversation. Kendra, why do you want this project done? John, why do you want to put this project off? So it could be that, or it could be something more emotionally charged.
Very well. John and Kendra Smiley, parenting experts. Kendra Smiley is with us today as we talk about having adult conversations. One of the points that you note, Kendra, you and John both have noted that one of the things that can derail an adult conversation that needs to happen is if we deliver our message to our spouse with an angry, frustrated, or kind of contentious sort of tone, and you put a lot of emphasis on body language and tone of voice and those kinds of things. I'm guessing a lot of us could tend to just overlook that. We're focused on the substance of our words and not the way we're delivering them. Tell us more about that.
Well, and that especially happens when we are emotional. And poor old John, how many times I say, okay, it's your tone. And let me go back for a minute, because there has been research that shows that only 6% of the message that's heard is your words. And you can test this out with a dog, Austin, if you happen to have one, or borrow one if you don't. We had a dog for years named Dumpy, And if you said to Dumpy, "You are the stupidest dog in Vermilion County," he would roll over and just love you. And by the same token, if you said, "Dumpy, I love you," he would cower in the corner. Because, right. of course, a dog cannot hear the words. But only 6% of that message is words that we hear as human beings. So a lot of our tone, our body language, is what's communicating. So you've got to be aware of what you're saying non-verbally when you have these adult conversations.
Yeah, very interesting. Kendra Smiley on our guest line here at Faith Radio, talking about having difficult yet necessary adult conversations with our spouse. And I keep presuming that this applies to husbands and wives. It most certainly does. But my guess is that a lot of these steps that you and John have articulated, Kendra, really apply to all kinds of adult relationships, peer relationships, relationships with other adult members of the family. Is there universal broad application with these ideas here, would you say?
Absolutely. And of course, as your kids get old enough that they are pseudo adults, they apply in that relationship too. I can remember my father, one of the things you can do to derail is to not listen to the entire message, to think about what you're going to say next. And my dad used to say to us, as I was trying to explain why I needed to go there or do this or have that or whatever it might be, he would say, "Don't bother me with the facts. My mind is made up." Mm-hmm. And it was cute, and it was frustrating to a child, but he'd already decided what he was going to say, and he wasn't even listening to what I was saying.
Yeah, very interesting. You also note that one of the problems we get ourselves into, one of the mistakes that we often make when trying to have an adult conversation, is we come to the table and we act out a hidden agenda. And I'm reminded of you having said that before, as you describe about, talk about one having their mind made up already. But tell us about hidden agendas and how maybe we don't even realize we have one when we come to the table.
Well, let's take a relationship that perhaps isn't a husband and wife. It could be a friend or it could be your spouse. And the person says, "I was just wondering what's on your agenda for today? What do you have planned for today?" And so you go through and you say, "Oh, I'm going to do this." And then the person says, "Great, you're going to be downtown. Would you pick up my laundry at the dry cleaners? Would you pick that up for me?" And you feel like you've been trapped, because all the way along, what you perceived as someone so interested in your schedule for the day and where you'd be spending your time really was just waiting to see if you could be pinned down to pick up that from the dry cleaners, those clothes from the dry cleaners. And then if you say no, you feel like, "Oh, I'm just not helpful. I should do this." But you've been trapped by a hidden agenda. So how do you handle that, Austin? And when the person says, "Oh, what's on your schedule for today?" You simply take a deep breath and say, "Well, is there anything I can do, I might be able to do to help you?" Then when the person says, "Well, I've got some clothes at the dry cleaners," you can decide whether or not you want to go to the dry cleaner. And if you do, you feel so much better about it than being trapped by a hidden agenda.
Yeah, that's interesting. You also note, Kendra, that some of us, and it's interesting the way you've spelled this out. And by the way, you can read all about this adult conversation dilemma at myfaithradio.com. This information that John and Kendra have authored is on our website, myfaithradio.com. Your choice of words, you say that sometimes we choose to have a hidden agenda. It's, in other words, it's a proactive decision on my part. If I'm being a jerk, I've chosen to be a jerk. You also say, sometimes we choose to have unexpressed expectations. And I can imagine a lot of people reading that saying, "Well, I don't do that." No, I'm very clear. That's probably a reason for some defensiveness on the part of a lot of us. And yet, if we're real honest with ourselves, we'd probably have to say, "Yeah, that's true." But tell us about choosing unexpressed expectations. What's up with that?
Well, again, these are all sort of forms of manipulation in conversation, and a lot of them are ones that we don't realize we're doing. An example of that, I remember being in the car, John and I driving somewhere. Our kids were still all at home, and we were talking about what's your idea of the perfect Christmas? It was in the month of December, and it was so phenomenal. And you know us a little bit, Austin, but this won't surprise you too much. But mine was, let's have every party at our house. Let's make sure it looks like Martha Stewart's. That's before she went to prison. And let's just have this. It's going to be great. And John's was, let's tell everyone we're leaving and then take the children and we'll all go to a mission for the day. And we'll just know we won't have to go to any parties. We won't have to entertain. And we started laughing, and we had never, ever, we'd been married, I don't know, probably 20 years. Mm-hmm. We had never talked about it. And we realized our expectations were poles apart for the perfect holiday. And then what we had to do was find the equator. And it was interesting, too, because when you express your expectations, that doesn't mean they're going to be met. That didn't mean we rushed out and invited everybody to Christmas parties at our home. It meant that I had an awareness of how John, being more of an introvert, needed more quietness. He had an increased awareness of how Kendra, being an extrovert, wanted more folks in on the action. And then you search for the equator, and sometimes you get a little closer, you know, to, what is it, the line of I don't know. I can forget my geography lesson from fifth grade. But you work at that then when you find, because it's the person you love. And so you don't want to just fight for your expectations.
Yeah, very helpful. Kendra Smiley on our guest line. We'll continue with her in just a moment as she outlines for us seven choices. Yes, things we choose to do or not to do that can derail a very necessary, urgent, needed adult conversation. We'll continue with her in just a moment. It's now 7:46 Central Time. You're listening to the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill. Central Time from the Faith Radio Network. John and Kendra Smiley are parenting experts. They are themselves parents and grandparents, and they are married. John Smiley is at home minding the business of the home. Kendra Smiley is on the road, but she's on our guest line talking about choices that we make that oftentimes can derail an adult conversation. You can read what they have written on this subject at myfaithradio.com. You point out, Kendra Smiley, that sometimes we simply choose to never even try to have an adult conversation. That sounds to me like maybe a nicer way of saying we intentionally go out of our way to avoid adult conversations with our spouse and other adults in our lives. Tell us what's going on there.
Well, first of all, that is certain to derail the adult conversation if you never have one. I think a lot of times it's because it seems too hard. It seems like there's going to be conflict. Oh, if I bring this up, you know, we need to talk about this, and maybe not even the realization that it's something that's in need of being discussed. I don't want to do that. And avoiding the issue does not make it better. And mm-hmm. many, many times it makes it much worse. And so taking that time to set aside, in fact, we'll sometimes schedule, when the children were little, we had something called SAMS meetings, and that was an acronym for Sunday AM Summit. Okay. And we would gather together things that we realized we needed to have adult conversations about. And a lot of times it was child rearing. You know, I don't know what we're going to do about this, or what do you think we should do in this situation, or whatever. And sometimes it was between the two of us as married people. We would have a SAMS meeting. The kids were nowhere around. They were still sleeping. And we would talk about those issues. But we took the time. We didn't choose not to attempt it. And so I would really encourage your listeners, Austin, to, if there's something they need to talk about, to maybe even start out by defining an adult conversation. You know, go on your website and look that up, see what we said it was, and see if they can't replicate the format for an adult conversation. I just this morning, one of the conference other speakers who's here with me said, "What are you doing?" "Oh, I'm on my way in here." And she looked at these and she said, "When you're done," of course I have a piece of paper with them all on, "when you're done, may I have that? I need to go home and have an adult conversation."
Yeah, very interesting. And, you know, and what you're describing there, Kendra Smiley, begs the question for me, can our lives, our marriages, our relationships with siblings, adult business partners, whatever, can our lives be just begging for, dying for more adult conversations, and we're just clueless, we're completely unaware that the need exists?
It's very possible. And I think when we don't engage in those, we're not developing our relationships and to the fullest, the way God would have us, because they can be a source of obviously great pain, but also great joy.
Very interesting. John and Kendra Smiley, they have written eloquently, Seven Choices That Can Derail an Adult Conversation. Navigate over to MyFaithRadio.com and find them online. Kendra Smiley has been with us on our guest line here on Faith Radio. She's in Texas. You've alluded to this. You're speaking at some sort of conference right now, it sounds
like.
Yes,
with lots of wonderful women and lots of wonderful friends of mine who are speakers all gathered together. I'm thinking I'm having almost too much fun.
What would your husband, John Smiley, say about that back home?
He would say, Kendra, he's called me this for years, he would say, Kendra is the fun chairman.
I like that. Very good. Good for you. We appreciate what both of you do. Thanks for taking time out from the conference to talk to us about adult conversation, which will let you get out of doors and enjoy the warm weather there in Texas. How warm is it? Do you have any idea? Curious.
It was in the late 60s. That's friends of mine. It was in the 60s yesterday, which felt great. When I left O'Hare Airport, it was not that warm. And I'll be going back tomorrow, so, you know, it's okay. I'll have my sweater on.
Yes, well, enjoy it while you can. Thanks so much. Have a great day. Safe travels to you, Kendra.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks very much. Again, seven choices to derail an adult conversation. Find it at myfaithradio.com. You're listening to Austin Hill in the Morning. That's our program. I am Austin Hill, and more in just moments. Don't go anywhere. Well, thanks again for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Remember, for more information about this, visit the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com.